Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
We're back for another Caravan of Garbage, the show where we look at things and go like, hey, what do you think of this? What do we think of this? And then people yell at us about our opinions, oftentimes, whether they be good or bad.
Oftentimes they say, why is this movie in Caravan of Garbage? It's not garbage. And we say to them, it's just the title of the video series.
We didn't think it through that much.
Didn't think it that hard. So not everything in here is garbage, but presumably some of the people who've already thought that have already either stopped watching or have clicked dislike. So have told us to kill ourselves in the comments. Anyway...
Leave a like if you could.
Yeah, this week this week we're talking about Man of Steel.
That's right, because we are doing the Zack Snyder Man of Steel trilogy. It's kind of loosely called.
Yeah, we're doing the oeuvre of Zack Snyder. Oh my goodness. I'll start again.
Went way down the wrong way.
Kombucha, that'll do it to you. Now you've got...
I've got a different voice now for the rest of the video, yeah. Even if I edit this out.
And you've got bacteria in your lungs. Fuck. Weird kombucha bacteria.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry, go on.
Well, look, we're covering the complete oeuvre of Zack Snyder, except not Dawn of the Dead and not that Owls movie.
No, not
just
the Owls movie.
Just his DC stuff.
To open things up, as I think we should, which is what the movie does, let's just talk about Krypton and what's going on in Krypton. I know it's a nonsense planet that doesn't make any sense.
You sure?
But I love it. Right. I love that it's not just crystals and glass and people in white coats going... Well, it's happened. I mean, there's a bit of that, sure. But it's just, you know, it's
they're
weird.
More in capes. They're in more jewel-encrusted capes going, rah.
Yeah.
But they are going, rah.
That's right. It's weird, dirty rocks and giant dragonflies it's and got gold helmets.
It's got a particular planned, beautiful aesthetic.
Yes.
A ridiculous aesthetic that makes no sense. As I've maybe perhaps mentioned in previous videos, what do you do on the planet Krypton? Like, if you're not a warrior, not a scientist, you're not on a council.
Yeah.
What do you do? Because there's nothing in any of the rooms. There doesn't seem to be anywhere to go. Like, if you want to, can you go to the movies? And if so, do you have to catch a giant dragonfly and fly to the movies?
Is the movies just a giant pin art screen? Right. And you're like, who is anybody in this?
What have you got to live for on this planet? I feel maybe there's the unanswered question is that if you go over one of those, you know, endless beautiful mountain ranges, there's just regular suburbs.
Yeah, right.
It's just people going to the mall.
Just apartment buildings.
Going to play mini golf, you know.
The strange thing about the pin art, which is the way you communicate, and you're like, is that my wife? I can't really tell.
Uh-huh.
They also have incredibly lifelike holograms. So it's weird that they would defer to that.
Well, there's a moment in the earlier part of the movie where Jor-El is talking to Lara, his wife, and he's seeing her on a pin board.
Yep.
And she says, Jor-El, look out. So she can see him and all his surroundings, but he can just see the pin board.
Yeah.
So is she looking at a TV screen?
I don't know.
Yeah, right? Does she have a bigger pin board that also shows, like, does your home pin board, is it the size of the wall and it also includes all the background?
It's entirely possible. It could wrap around. We don't really know.
Wrap around pin board.
That being said, I love the idea of how they set up this doomed Krypton, the way that they often do, where it's just dumb bureaucrats in stupid hats being like, the planet's not dying, religion will live forever, and whatever, and then the planet explodes. It's the dumbest council in the world who then put all the racists and horrible kind of blood-feuding families in dick rockets and fire them to safety.
I have so many questions about the whole thing. First of all, they're like, well, we have precisely 10 devices that...
usher you to safety.
Yeah, that's right. Should we use them? No, let's give them to the criminals. Let's definitely do that. Secondly, Jor-El mentions to Zod at some point during the Krypton sequence that the birth of his and Lara's child is the first natural birth in centuries.
Heresy!
Which, for me, opens this whole big can of worms. It's like, is maybe the reason that everybody on this planet so angry Is nobody's been laid in like 300 years? Is that maybe? Well,
look, I'd imagine there's still.
Is that why all the stuff looks like dicks? Is that? Is this just? I'm asking. Asking questions.
It's not an unreasonable question. And the thing is, these questions I have about this society and this council and why they do the things they do. Bear in mind, this isn't a criticism. I have criticisms.
Sure.
Criticisms that I'm going to get to them. But they're a dying, doomed civilization, and they just do dumb things.
Yeah.
So I'm entirely okay with it. I also like the idea that Jor-El is this guy who he was born as a scientist, he was raised to be a scientist, and he just goes, you know what? I'm going to teach myself kung fu.
Right.
And fucking no one sees it coming.
Right.
When they're just walking him off, they don't think he's just going to be throwing elbows. They've all been raised that way, and he's just tearing through them because he probably, you know, he took a year off to probably just practice some kung fu.
He took a year off and he watched the Dark Knight trilogy is what happened. That's why he's throwing all those knees and elbows.
I love it, though.
Yeah.
I love that idea that in this civilization, you can go beyond yourself if you want to, and it's unusual, and nobody expects it.
Right.
You can just do whatever you want if you want to. You apply yourself.
You can birth your own child.
Yeah.
He's the only man with a dick on that planet, is what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. We don't have any evidence for or against, but I'm just saying, if you didn't have one, maybe you'd be grumpy.
Goddamn, Michael Shannon is good in this.
Right, good.
He's terrifying, and you believe everything that he's saying. Physically, he looks good. Like, he looks like a guy who could potentially be a foil to a Superman.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, he's got a lot of good ideas that are right, because he's like, the planet's exploding, and I want to stop that.
But he cuts his own hair.
But he cuts his own hair. And then, of course, also, there's the weird bloodline racist stuff
that I don't agree with. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think, like all good villains, they've got a point to an extent.
Oh, yeah, you know? Absolutely, yeah.
And he's just been pushed that little bit too far because people aren't listening to him.
Yeah, I mean, there's even a point when Zod and Jor-El have their first conversation in that throne room.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, why wouldn't they be on the same side? And then the racism, I see, I get it. I get it now. Right, uh-huh.
Yeah, that's it. I love all the Codex bloodline stuff, and it's all kept in like an ancient Kryptonian monkey skull.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's really important. They got to usher it off the planet, and he dives into the pool, and he swims through, and the alarm system goes off, and he's in his tight Superman onesie. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
His super drawers, yes.
That's right. And then when he grabs it, and he climbs out, and he just cracks it on a rock.
That's right.
Clack. That's fine. Don't even worry about it. Just this skull that's millions of years old.
It would have been a much shorter movie if he just did it. Oh, it's a very old skull. I didn't factor that in.
Yeah, that's right.
It's turned to dust now.
Here's a question, though.
Yes.
And it will factor more into the end of the movie. Do you think it would have been a better idea for him to give that to Zod to have the civilization survive?
I think it may have been a better idea to give him like a decoy skull or anything.
Okay,
but
sure.
But instead, in this movie, Jor-El pretty much gives the game away immediately.
Yeah.
He's like, guess what? We had a kid and we've got the Codex. We're shooting it into space.
Yeah.
Over that way.
That's right.
Don't even worry about it.
I know you're jealous of his dick, but you stay away from him, all right? You'll never get him. Oh, you can still see the rocket and you got to shoot it down?
Here's a tip for you.
Mm.
Jor-El, where's the Codex? I threw it in the bin.
I broke it when I climbed out of the pool.
That's right.
There's a pin art video of it you can look at.
And then Zod would be like, actually pretty plausible. And now that I think it was very fragile. Oh, well, guess our civilization's done.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, I like all the Krypton stuff in summary. And I like that they just didn't defer to the crystal Chris Reeve stuff, which, again, I also like. And they borrow that a lot in the comics. But this is a different Superman. And I think the criticisms that have been leveled at this is that it's not the Chris Reeve version. But it's different. And that's okay. It's a different universe. I don't agree with everything that they've done here.
Uh-huh.
But at least it's not Superman Returns is what I'm saying.
Exactly. Precisely, yes. Yes.
I also like how most of the growing up stuff with Clark is done in flashback.
I had a question about the flashbacks. In
sure.
fact, it's not a question, James. I'll rephrase. I have a theory about the flashbacks.
Okay.
Because a lot of this is, it's modern day Clark Kent, and then it flashes back to an important moment in young Clark's life. In rewatching this, I feel pretty confident in saying that I think they put the flashbacks in the wrong order and nobody noticed until the movie came out, and then it was too late to do anything about it. Because there's a scene in the movie, present day Clark, he's working at like a truck stop diner, and a guy gives him some grief.
Yep.
And then later in the movie, like half an hour later, there's a flashback where young Clark Kent is being like pushed around by some bullies. And the question is, what kind of man are you going to grow up to be, Clark? Are you going to stand up to bullies? Where do we know? It happened half an hour ago, and we know exactly what he's going to do. He's going to take all the abuse, then he's going to walk outside, and he's going to impale the guy's truck on a bunch of logs, and then he's going to leave.
Do you think that's too far to ruin this man's livelihood potentially? I think he deserved it.
I think he kind of deserved it, but also Clark's like, 6'4", right? And this guy was like maybe a foot shorter than him.
Yeah. I love that moment where he shoves him.
And nothing
and
happens.
And it's just, he's just a wall. He doesn't even flinch. And the guy's face is just like, what has just happened?
But also it's a rowdy truck stop bar. And I guess my question is, it wouldn't be out of place if a guy who worked at the bar was like, you're making trouble, stop doing that or I'll throw you out.
Yeah.
You won't have to take a glass of beer to the face. Just pick him up and hurl him out the door.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the boss would be like, good job, Clark.
Yeah. Because he could.
Yeah.
He could pick him up by the scruff of the neck.
Right.
And throw him out the door.
Yeah.
Like he's nothing.
There's another flashback where Pa Kent, he's sat a young Clark down and he's like, you're going to have to make a choice, Clark. You're going to have to...
Are you going to be nice or are you going to drown kids in a school bus?
Exactly. You're going to... Oh, hey, I've got it written it here. It says, you're going to have to make a choice of whether to stand proud in front of the human race or not. Like, are you going to be a hero?
Yeah.
But again, right at the start of the movie, he rescues a bunch of dudes from a burning oil rig.
And
they're all like, they could presumably all be like, yeah, we saw his face and he's on fire that whole time. We could pick him out of a lineup if we wanted to. Like, I feel like maybe if they'd moved some of these around, you'd be like...
Oh, you get the natural progression more.
Yeah,
right?
And it's like, and like obviously, because it's a Superman movie, we know he's going to be Superman.
Yes.
But for someone who maybe went into this, you know, with fresh eyes and, like, let's presume there's somebody out who doesn't know who Superman is and watches this movie, they'd be like... Yeah, he's going to, we know he's going to be a hero because he saved those people. You know?
That being said, his father puts him on a path in this movie where it's very lucky that he didn't turn out to be the kid from Brightburn.
Oh, yeah.
I just think one of my major problems with this movie is the characterization of Jonathan Kent.
Mm.
And I think he mostly is done right in Smallville, Chris Reeve movies, a lot of the animated stuff, comics. He's done right a lot of the time because he pushes Clark to better himself. And Clark's like, I want to play sport and, you know, and show people what I can do. And he's
and
like...
Clark Kent's often like, run second, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's like, run second. What, you want to be a pro athlete? You think that's the extent of your abilities.
Yeah,
that's
right,
what you want to do with these amazing gifts that you have. You need to think bigger. You need to think about humanity.
Think about how many logs you can put through a truck,
yeah,
Clark.
That's right.
How many?
Yeah.
But yeah, this version of Pa Kent is very much like, I don't think you should try, Clark. I think you should hide away.
Yeah.
And I don't think you should bring any attention to this. It's so important that you don't bring any attention to you being any different from anybody else. P.S. I took this piece of metal from your spaceship and I brought it to a metallurgist and he was like, this is a crazy piece of metal. I've never encountered anything like this in my entire life. Anyway, here's the piece of metal back and I'm never going to mention this ever again.
Yeah, absolutely.
One rule for Park and it's one rule for Clark, isn't it?
Well, that's not wrong. I have a massive problem with the tornado death.
I've written here. Let me
see. It's entirely avoidable.
I've written here. Hang on, let me find it. The death of Pa Kent is the dumbest death in the history of cinema.
I don't know about the dumbest death in
the
history of
cinema. It's the dumbest death.
I think for such a serious movie as well, it doesn't play. The idea also that it's not even the moment where he doesn't rescue him, which he could. Because first of all, nobody is looking at Clark in that moment. Everyone's looking at Pa Kent. He could run in, grab him. No one would even see what happened. Yeah. Right?
Uh-huh.
The other thing is, before they even get to the underpass, he says to Clark, I'll go back for the dog. Here, carry this kid. I move at regular speed and I can get my foot caught
in a
car door.
Yeah.
Which would happen to you. If it happened to you, you'd walk through it like it was tinfoil. Mm. All the steps leading up to that make no sense.
Well, they make sense if you consider that scene needed to be dramatic and move the plot forward.
Yes.
Did it make any sense? No, but it did those other things, didn't it?
I also think the lesson doesn't work. Look, again, this isn't the Chris Reeve movies.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to be, and that's absolutely fine. But in those movies, the lesson learnt from Clark Kent's dad is he dies of a heart attack and he realizes that despite all his insane powers, he can't save everybody.
Yeah.
But this is a scenario where he definitely could have saved him.
I think this is intended to be his Spider-Man Uncle Ben with great power comes great responsibility thing, and he decided not to, and that's a big mistake he made.
Yeah.
But there was no villain here. It was just a...
Big gust of wind.
Big gust of wind. And yeah, and it's like Pa Kent went in there like, well, it'd be a bit suspicious if you went in there and saved the dog and survived. So me, a much older man with no powers going in, who's definitely going to die, it'll make much more sense if I come out of this alive, which I won't. I'm going to die. Anyway.
Also, if I could just refer everybody to groundzeroshelters.com.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is in relation to hiding under an underpass
with
a tornado. Don't do it.
Okay.
Because it can create a wind tunnel
and
destroy you anyway. Stay in your car with your seatbelt on, put your head down below the windows, covering your head with your hands, and with a blanket if possible, or get... This is just a PSA. Why am I doing this? Or if you can get lower than the level of the roadway, exit your car and lie in that area, covering your head with your hands. It's a common misconception to go under an overpass of what I'm saying. Mm. I'm trying to save lives out here, Mason.
Okay, but
I'm like Superman.
That's right. Look, I've always learned that if you're countering a tornado, I try to go onto a golf course and like hold your golf club up really high above your head.
All right. Yeah, well, that works.
The lightning will distract you from the tornadoes.
Definitely. I think Henry Cavill's great in this.
I think so too.
I think he gets less and less to do in these movies after this one. I think he's kind of hard done by in Batman v Superman, which we'll come back to. But I think overall, with the material that he is given, the physicality of the performance, how he looks.
How hairy his chest is.
I love that. That's very Death of Superman. Throwing that back in. I'm okay with it. I think he's terrific. How do you feel about him and the suit, though?
Yeah, you're right. He's got the physicality. He's got the range as an actor, and he's got the potential to be the Superman that maybe is one that's filled with hope.
The one they shoehorn into the end of Justice League.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And again, if you want a grim and gritty Superman, he can do that as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, at this point, we didn't know whether it was going to be a franchise or not.
Yeah.
It was just a kind of standalone. I think they should have put in the underpants.
Sure. I don't mean the underpants.
But I don't mean the full underpants. Yeah, right. Like, you know, do it.
Maybe a red belt.
Yeah, like a red belt situation, you know, like an extended bike short. I don't know.
I know they did try multiple variations and they couldn't get the look right. But yeah, I don't mind the underpants. I think it can look okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, think of Iron Man. Iron Man traditionally, like the 60s version, had an iron suit with underpants.
Big underpants.
But in the modern day version, he's still got like the red in the middle.
They break it up.
Yeah. Yeah, do that with this suit. Yeah.
I think the problem with this suit is...
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I generally like it, especially the cape. I think the cape looks great. It's too muted compared to the also muted world. Like, he doesn't pop enough out of it.
And
I'm not saying don't go garish spandex, but I'm saying... wear something that kind of lifts him above the kind of grey tone of a lot of this movie.
And that lifts him above the villains. Because in this movie, there's even a moment where the soldiers are like, the boss is like, open fire. And they're like, even the man in blue? Like, I think they're all wearing blue. I don't know. I'm on a battlefield.
Bluish, greyish?
I don't know what colour anybody is. All right, I'll just keep shooting. It's not working, but I'll keep shooting.
Also, I think Lois Lane is great in this. Mm-hmm. I think she's probably the best Lois Lane. I know that's kind of heresy.
Yes.
If you look back again at the 70s movies and the other versions that we've got. But I think she does a lot of actual reporting.
She does a lot of screaming.
She does a lot of screaming, but not too much screaming.
She does a lot of being invited to like a military base where they're digging up something and they don't know what it is yet. But they're like, we better bring the media just in case.
Yeah, that's
just
right.
Just in case this is an alien thing. And then we can deny all knowledge of it after showing it to her.
Let's talk about an alien thing.
Okay.
I'd like the idea of the Fortress of Solitude in this, that it's a crashed scout ship from thousands of years prior.
Uh-huh.
I think that's an interesting take on that, in the sense that you can plug in, you know, like a new Kryptonian key, and all of a sudden it's your ship. It's your Fortress of Solitude.
Yes.
I like that a lot, but they also kind of entirely abandon it in later movies in terms of a place that Superman can go to for refuge.
Yeah. And it's also, it was also intended, I think, as well to be potentially the origin story of Supergirl as well.
Oh, we'll come back to that.
Yeah, we see an empty pod there. Yeah, I do have a note about this particular ship. Mm. So Jor-El sent Kal-El to Earth with basically a USB stick that explains his origins and contains a copy of his dad.
Yep,
like in the USB stick, but nothing on his ship to read it. So he's made the leap.
Yeah.
That even if Jor-El knows about this scout ship on Earth, that Clark will find it, even though it's been buried in the ice for nearly 20,000 years. Maybe the military never finds it, and he's just walking around with his USB stick in his pocket going, I wish I knew what my destiny was.
That being said, it's also entirely possible the ship that brought him does do that, and he's never tried it. They've never put it together for some reason.
Yeah, right.
Or that also he knew that ship was there and still functional because he has some information about the planet Earth.
Or maybe he has the stick and he goes to his birthing capsule spaceship to try it, and he puts it in upside down and it doesn't work, and he turns it around and he puts it in, and it's still upside down for some reason. He just keeps trying it. It's always upside down with these USB sticks. Why doesn't it work both ways?
I will say this though about their relationship, getting back to the Jonathan Kent thing. That moment where they're talking about where he's from and he just has this real existential crisis of like, not that I'm adopted, I'm not from this planet. He's just like, I want to just be a regular kid. Why can't I just be your son? And he's like, you are my son. None of that matters. Like, fuck all that. Like, the most important thing is that, you know, I still love you despite all of this. I think that's a terrific moment. Again, the problem with Jonathan Kent isn't the performance or little moments like that. It's the fact that he's a dumb dad who dies in a tornado.
And I think, was that the idea behind, okay, well, Jor-El is like the big man of action.
Sure.
And Pa Kent is the man of, just sit calmly in your seat and keep your seatbelt on.
Yes.
They needed that contrast to be like, he's got to choose one.
I think that is the idea, but he's too much of a downer. Like, he's dragging him down too much.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand him going,
I'm glad that tornado took him, quite frankly.
Yeah, did everybody a favor. Who knows what would have happened? You know what I also like about this movie?
Yes.
There's not so much kryptonite as there is, he hadn't been recently exposed to the Kryptonian atmosphere, and that is his kryptonite.
Yes.
It's this really heavy environment that he's just not used to.
Yeah, right.
And it's just this crushing weight on him. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really interesting idea.
I think so too.
Yeah. I also like the physicality of all the Kryptonians in this. The moment where Zod flips that truck like it's a tin can.
Yep.
The fight scene in Smallville is amazing.
I agree, yeah.
It's so good.
And again, you know, there are elements of the Christopher Reeve Superman movies that I like and don't like. There's, you know, some great Superman and Justice League cartoons that have great characterizations of Superman. But I feel like this is the first movie that we really feel the physicality of beings that can fly, you know, beyond the speed of sound and just crash into buildings and destroy them.
IHOPs
and Sears, RIP, and just not feel it.
Yes.
But at the same time,
they can be damaged.
Yes.
Which I think also raises the stakes for everybody and means the army serves an actual purpose there. They might not be greatly impacting what's going on.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But they have some play in what is going on in that scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. At one point, Faora does get hit by a missile and she is at least temporarily knocked out.
So yeah, absolutely.
We know, I guess, at least until they achieve their full Superman level powers.
Yeah.
You know, the longer they spend on Earth.
Yes.
But until that time, they are kind of vulnerable. Also, Faora and Christopher Maloney's character, to me, have this weird romantic subplot.
Definitely.
They never say anything, but I feel like Christopher Maloney's character, whose name I cannot recall, nor will I look up because he's always Christopher Maloney in everything to me.
That's all we need.
Beautiful man. Immediately upon seeing her, you see him fall in love.
Yes.
Like, oh my stars. What a beautiful alien lady. Mm.
I love how he brought a knife to an indestructible Kryptonian fight.
Yeah, right?
And he just goes, I guess I'm just doing this, even though I'm about to be shredded.
Sure.
I love it. I think it's great. I think he's really good in this movie. I think he's great. But what I also like about that scene, which doesn't play in the final battle in Metropolis, he's actively saving people and trying to prevent destruction.
Uh-huh.
And look, we will get to it, but that is a major problem for me in this movie, and that's where it kind of falls apart in a big way. The world engine is not terrible.
Well, I've written here, not only is it not terrible, but it's the perfect superhero movie finale machine because it generates both fire and smoke, and it shoots a blue sky beam.
Yeah, so it does it all.
It's just, hey, you want an environment for a finale? You want some smoke to obscure some bad CGI? You want a laser beam to know that there's some stakes happening? There's a look. I hope that laser beam doesn't go on too long, because otherwise big trouble.
But I like that it's, you see the crushing atmosphere and gravity effect. Uh-huh. It's not just blasting. There's other things going on. I also forgot that he sort of fights a squid, whatever. It's not really important. Uh-huh. But what I don't like about it, and this is the problem, I think, with a moment in Superman Returns, he manages to fly through it. Just because he believes in himself, maybe there should be more to it than... Maybe stand back and shoot it with your laser eyes instead of standing directly under the beam, the crushing weight of
maybe,
it.
Maybe, yeah.
And that's just my thought,
I had another thought, which was, it's a terraforming machine.
Yes.
I guess my question is, if you start out on a world where you cannot... Breathing the atmosphere might kill you.
Yeah.
Why are you terraforming that planet? They're from a different planet.
Yeah, sure.
You can have Jupiter. I don't care.
But I don't think the atmosphere kills you. I think it's overwhelming. I think that's the difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he's just a prick. Like,
that's probably
honest.
It, yeah.
That's what it comes down
to. Well, I mean, I did wonder why he thought that showing Clark like a hallucination of a destroyed Earth with this endless field of skulls.
Yeah, cool.
I wondered why he thought that might be a... Like, that would convince Clark that's a good idea. That'd really convince him. Yeah, I'm on board with this terraforming plan now. Oh, is that my friend Lana's skull? Terrific.
Yeah, great.
I'm on board now.
I love sinking in skulls.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to talk about the finale. I know people have kind of excused it to death, and we've been openly criticized for saying that, why does Superman not so much knock down so many buildings, which he does,
yes,
but also allow this to happen. There's even a moment where they go into space and they drop back straight down. Back
into the
city.
Like,
go
the city
somewhere
Metropolis,
else,
yeah.
Obviously. To be fair, that is addressed at the start of Batman v Superman, which we'll come back to. Like, why is he doing this? Mm-hmm. It all looks good. The punching is great. It's all very realistic. But the idea that he decides to wipe Krypton out entirely by crashing that ship into so many buildings, killing not only what's left of his planet, but also tens of thousands of people in Metropolis.
To be fair, we never actually see any human deaths.
I believe Zack Snyder made the point of saying it's something like 5,000 people were killed, which is...
A lot of deaths confirmed.
It's quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But then it all comes down to that one moment of a neck snap.
Oh, yes.
And people say that an excuse is that what was he supposed to do in that scenario?
Fly away?
Well, I understand that, like...
Use his super speed to move those people out of the way?
Yeah, sure. All of those things.
Maybe he could stand in front of the heat vision. Move really fast.
Well, that's my point. Just write a different scenario.
Yep.
You know, I understand that he wants to save people. It's not the killing Zod that I so much have a problem with. Mm-hmm. It's because he does kill occasionally. He'll kill if he has to.
Well, here's the thing as well, is that it also builds up to a moment where he kills Zod and then he's torn up, he's destroyed by it. And again, if you...
But look what just happened.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But if you... Well, that also. But also, if you know Superman as a character, you go, well, he probably doesn't... tries not to kill that many people. But if you don't know Superman, you've just seen 2 hours of a guy just ramming through buildings. And like at one point he like drags a Kryptonian like through a city by his face.
Yeah.
And it's like, why you tried to kill him like 20 minutes ago. Why are you concerned that you have to kill him now?
Exactly.
Like if you don't know
who
Superman...
You exterminated your race, essentially.
Yes. If you didn't know who Superman was, you'd be like, why is he feeling so sad at this last kill?
Yeah.
He seemed to be bang up for it a minute ago.
Yeah, it's strange to me. And it's interesting because Christopher Nolan had a big hand in this movie.
Yeah, right.
I don't have proof of this, but I feel like they offered him Man of Steel to direct.
Yeah, right.
He's a producer and he has a writing credit. He thought that he didn't like the idea of Superman killing at the end and was kind of talked around to it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like tonally it doesn't fit with the rest of the movie. Again, it's not the killing. It's it's the execution of this scenario.
Yeah, that execution is right.
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah. I don't believe that, like you said, that this version of Superman would care about killing Zod. Because Zod, he sucks, straight up.
Absolutely sucks, yeah.
Yeah. He's the guy you want to kill out of all of those people.
And if you've recently seen maybe an Avengers movie or something like that, where the heroes kill people just all the time as a matter of course, you'd be like, I guess you got to do that sometimes.
You
got
to do
it's
it,
fine,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's it. Anyways, here's a section of the show called We Give You Some Trivia.
Oh,
but also bear in mind, we don't mention every bit of trivia. If you do want that, go read a list of trivia because we're almost certainly not going to mention everything. Like how you see the Bruce Wayne satellite in space. Yes, I saw it.
You see the LexCorp truck. You see a LexCorp truck.
That's right.
If you want to know all the trivia, go to a trivia page and you'll figure out exactly the point at which we stopped reading the trivia. Because there'll be more. We'll say a last bit of trivia, then there'll be more trivia under that.
Correct. So, Supergirl, you mentioned that. Now, Zack Snyder has said that the open pod that we see on the Kryptonian ship, that was something more than Supergirl. That being said, there is a prequel comic where it is definitely a Supergirl, version of... Yeah. That being said, he almost certainly didn't have a hand in writing that.
That's right.
But I do wonder whether it was going to be the Eradicator. Maybe it was Doomsday at some point.
Yeah, right,
You know what?
It was a box of potential. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's right.
It's put in a mystery box and be like, what do you think it's going to be, audience?
Yes. Also, you know how they all get sucked into the Phantom Zone at the end?
Yes.
He mentioned that Feyora maybe survived.
Okay.
And so my question is, did Christopher Maloney end up in the Phantom Zone? Do you think he could come back potentially?
Yes.
I just wanted to do the rhyme.
I loved it.
But do you think he could, though?
I think they did, and I think they're going to come back married. That's how it's going to work.
Yeah. I don't know.
They're going to repopulate the Kryptonian race, and yeah, I think maybe. That's great.
That's it. And also, of course, we can't go past mentioning that General Swanwick is Martian Manhunter.
Potentially he is, yeah. Or it's been revealed by Zack Snyder.
It has. Yeah. There's some storyboards that led to the idea that he was going to be revealed to be... He was basically protecting Earth the entire time as Martian Manhunter.
It's funny that when Superman was in the interrogation room and he X-rayed everybody, he didn't notice that General Swanwick was in fact a Martian Manhunter at all.
But the thing is, maybe he did.
Oh.
He's not the kind of guy to be like, guy's an alien.
He did point out that guy's lifesavers, though. So, you know, he's up for spilling some secrets. That's all I'm saying.
That's entirely possible, yeah.
Look, I have one more piece of trivia.
I love trivia!
I have one more unearthed note here. It just says, the editor-in-chief of the Daily Planet, Perry White, has a single diamond earring, and I want to know the story behind it. I mean, maybe it's just a fashion statement. Maybe there's something more. I don't know. But
he got divorced. That's what I think happened.
That's it. I'd love to read that prequel comic is all I'm saying. So if somebody's making it,
yeah,
please send me an advance copy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there is all that Daily Planet stuff, which I don't mind. But then at the end, they're like, hey, Jenny Olsen, do you want to go on a date? Yeah, where do you want to go to? The giant crater in the middle of Metropolis? Would you like to just sit there with me? Great stuff.
Uh-huh.
But there is a good moment where they're all going to get crushed and they're all sitting together and holding hands. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
It shows that there are people in this enormous battle. Yeah. Overall, though, like honestly, and I know we've been heavy on the criticism for a lot of this, I like more
but
of
we've
this.
We've had a lot of laughs along the
way,
Jess.
But seriously, I like more of this movie than I don't.
Mm-hmm,
I think it gets a lot of it right. I think, though, at the same time, there is no definitive live-action modern version of Superman that we've gotten yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like Henry Cavill could definitely come back and do that at some point.
Yes.
I would like to see that. This is just, for me, it's just not... It's an interesting interpretation, but it doesn't all come together for me.
Yeah, I think you're right. And again, action sequences are great. It looks great.
Yep. It's very well acted and well cast.
Yeah. And it's also this idea, and it's the flashbacks are a symptom of it. It's, he doesn't have a character arc, this Superman.
Mm.
At no point are you surprised that he becomes Superman and he saves the day at the end. Like,
yeah.
there's no tension where you're like, what side's he going to choose? I mean, we know it's Superman, but it's still, it would be nice. It'd be nice if we could play pretend for 2 hours, you know what I mean?
And that's what it's all about, isn't it?
That's right.
Just pretending. Literally anything else is happening in the world. Like a giant alien invasion. God, what a relief.
Oh my God, that feels so good.
Just to think about something else just for a second.
Oh my God, if I just a thing that I can knife fight, you know what I mean?
Sure. Absolutely. Anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. We do this every week. We throw polls up on Patreon to be like, hey, what do you want to see?
Mm-hmm.
This was much requested. That's why we're doing it. And of course, I love talking about these movies.
Me
I could
too.
Talk about these movies forever. Come back next week because we're going to be doing Batman v Superman.
Yeah, the
Dawn of Justice.
That's correct, yes.
That's right. It's a very long title for a very long movie. Mm-hmm. I think we'll probably do the extended cut, right?
All right, sure.
Yeah, well,
cool.
I guess that's the version, you know, we're supposed to see. I think that's the idea.
That is, it's very definitive,
isn't
it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to revisiting that because, boy, do I have thoughts mostly about that jar of piss. We'll come back to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, subscribe if you want. That'd be great. And of course, we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. Comes out every Monday morning. We do that, don't we?
We sure do.
If you want Snyder Cut updates, mate.
There's going to be Snyder Cut updates until the Snyder Cut is released and beyond. So
that's
If you're on board with that, if you like two idiots having thoughts about it.
You're going to get that.
You're going to get that. And you'll have opinions also.
That's right. All right. See you guys.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.